Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, May 17th, 2022, Psalm 25.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. We are approaching the last paragraph of this great acrostic psalm. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, on Sunday, I announced the celebration of Alan Sherry's 70th anniversary. Of course, it wasn't 70, it was 7. However, since then, they remembered it wasn't on that the 15th, it's the 22nd. So they kind of like the system. So they, by the end of the year, they will have more anniversaries than anybody in here. Well, Al actually got a break on it because he thought he screwed the pooch here on this, and he was thinking that the anniversary was the 22nd and. So he kind of missed on the gift. So he got a week. He got a week to make amends on this thing. And I understand how those things happen. I mean, when Deb and I were picking a date to get married, I was going to pick a holiday so I could remember. So Flag Day, I can already remember Flag Day, and I know Flag Day, that's when we got married, so I'm right on there every time, you know. I think the classic one is with my mom and dad. My mom and dad got married on Easter. They wanted to get married on Easter. They did. It happened to be April 1st. Well, their anniversary was only on Easter about one more time. But it was April Fool's Day every single year when they had their anniversary. So I think for a lot of couples, that would be a great time to have your wedding on April 1st. Oh, well, that's enough. And all of that's free. Psalm 25. Let's start with the psalmic file, verse 14. We haven't exegeted all of the Ayin file, verse 15. Verse 14, the counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear Him. Category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. And therefore, He will cause them to know His covenant. Now, this is very important. Remember, Hebrew word bereath? But Brown, Driver, and Briggs says it has a very special meaning here. It means the alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord, occupation with Christ. And that is the greatest title that you can have as a believer, the friend of God. And David was the friend of God. And so that's what we actually have here. He will cause them to know His covenant, the alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord, occupation with Christ. And then verse 15, the Ayin file, he continues on in the first half, my eyes are continually on the Lord. And that's a beautiful way to describe occupation with Jesus Christ. Verse 15 is the Ayin file, and the Ayin represents the eye. And it means to understand, to know, to see. But not to see with your physical eyes, but rather to see with the most important eyes that you have. And the most important eyes that you have are the eyes of your heart. And what provides the light so that your eyes of your heart can see Jesus Christ? The light of the Word of God. The light of Bible doctrine. Shines a light, and the more Bible doctrine you get into your heart, the greater the light, and Jesus Christ makes Himself at home in your heart, and now you can enjoy Him and fellowship with Him moment by moment and day by day. No matter what is going on in the world, in your marriage, in the family, in your city, whether it's prosperity or adversity, the Lord Jesus Christ has made Himself at home in your heart, and you see Him. You see Him, you know Him, you love Him. So the Ayin file is seeing with the eyes of the heart. It is thinking divine viewpoint. This is the David's divine viewpoint thinking in the midst of historical crisis and national disaster. The eyes of David's soul are occupied with Jesus Christ. And therefore, David expects deliverance from the Absalom revolution and this civil war. My eyes are continually on the Lord. And I hope that that's something that can be true for each one of you. You live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then this will be true in your life. My eyes are continually on the Lord. The most important eyes that you possess are the eyes of your soul. Metabolized doctrine in your heart provides the light so that the eyes of your soul can see. You can now see God. You can see God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. From the light of Bible doctrine in his soul, David can see the divine perspective. He can think divine viewpoint. The light of Bible doctrine in the heart results in seeing Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. Occupation with Christ is personal love for our Lord Jesus Christ through maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ makes Himself at home in the heart of the spiritually mature believer, where the eyes of the soul can see Him through the light of the Word of God, Ephesians 3, 14 and 19. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart gives the spiritually mature believer the capacity to see and to love the Lord Jesus Christ with the most important eyes that you possess, the eyes of the soul. And therefore, even though you have not seen Him with your physical eyes, you love Him because you see Him with the eyes of your heart through the light of Bible doctrine, 1 Peter 1:8. And that same verse also teaches us that occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God are two sides of the same coin. You have the one, you have the other. You have occupation with Jesus Christ, you have self-contained happiness. You have self-contained happiness, you have occupation with Jesus Christ. Spiritually mature believers who have attained occupation with Christ have true happiness, and they are spiritually self-sustaining. And 1 Peter 1:8 also tells us that the happiness from occupation with Christ is an inexpressible happiness which you cannot communicate to others. It's something that belongs to the privacy of your own soul. And then we noted that there are two divine mandates with regard to occupation with Christ. We studied those, Hebrews 12:2 and 3, 1 Peter 3:15. And then we noted that occupation with Christ is also described as fellowshipping with the Son. Fellowship with the Son. And then we studied occupation with Christ as the greatest motivator in life. Now, personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue and the first virtue that's developed as you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and that motivates impersonal love for all. But the greatest motivator of all in your life is occupation with Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 17. And then we noted the need for occupation with Christ. From occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God, you learn to avoid the three great hazards of the Christian life: eyes on self, eyes on people, and eyes on things. And then we noted that occupation with Christ versus preoccupation with people in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. And then that brought us to the last point we studied, point 13. For the spiritually mature believer who is occupied with Christ, living is Christ and dying is profit. Philippians 1, 20 and 21, this is the Apostle Paul, and this was his life. For him and for every spiritually mature believer occupied with Christ, living is Christ and dying is profit. The believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ will not be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Philippians 1 verse 20. The ultimate in occupation with Christ is when he is exalted in your body. Whether you're in a state of living or a state of dying, our life is made up of two phases. Phase one, the state of living, the living phase. Phase two, the dying phase. At this point, you have a dual number one priority: Bible doctrine and Jesus Christ, the written word and the living word. And therefore, you now have the ability to concentrate on what is important in the midst of the greatest pressures of life. For David, well, he's been driven out of his palace. He's living in the desert. He's in the Absalom revolution has taken place, and now the civil war is underway. You organize your life around this dual priority of the Word of God and Jesus Christ. And therefore, you organize your thinking so that occupation with Christ becomes the basis for passing the greatest of adversity and suffering for blessing in your life. Therefore, you concentrate on Jesus Christ through metabolized doctrine so that occupation with Christ in the midst of great suffering for blessing becomes both the motivation and the focus of your life. Occupation with Christ enables you to glorify God to the maximum. At this point, occupation with Christ equates living, the living phase of your life, with the dying phase, verse 21. With occupation with Christ, the experience of dying is the greatest experience of life. Now, you can all have your way you like to see it in your own soul. I like to see it as chocolate pie with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. Maybe two or three maraschino cherries. Now, not just any chocolate pie. Don't think, you don't have to. Now, if you want to make me a chocolate pie, you better get a hold of my mom. She's in heaven. My mother made the best chocolate pie ever. And you know what it was? Chocolate pudding. Jell-O chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding in a crust. It was nice and heavy. Heavy, like gravity. It was thick. It was chocolatey. Now, I've been in restaurants and had fancy-dancy schmancy pies. They were just, there was nothing to them. They're light and fluffy and floating around, and there wasn't anything there. Now, that chocolate pudding pie, that is the pie. So when I think of dying, I think of having chocolate pudding pie. And, of course, if there was any pudding left over, that went in the bowl and we ate that too. Just as good. So that, when you have occupation with Christ, then the experience of dying is the greatest experience of life. I don't want to miss out on that. Now, a lot of you are praying for the rapture. Well, the rapture is going to come whenever God says it's going to come. Your prayers have nothing to do with when the rapture is going to take place. I don't pray that the rapture gets here. I know it's coming. And I think it's real. I think we're real close. Nowhere the rapture is signless and timeless, but I think we're very close. Everything for the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation and the Antichrist, everything's ready to take off. It's the only thing they're waiting for is for us to get out of here. And then what do I see first thing today? The government, for the first time in 50 years, is bringing in UFOs. Well, when we're all gone at the rapture, how are you going to explain how we're not here? The Democrats will have the answer. UFOs got rid of all of the enemies. They got rid of all those Christians. They're out of here. But now, all I saw was the pictures they made 50 years ago of UFOs. Now, are there UFOs? They're called angels. Unidentified flying objects. There's angels all over. But as far as flying saucers go, I'll tell you, I was up hunting here in Nevada at 11,000 feet. I was hunting at 11,000 feet, and I hiked up, took a tent with me, a pup tent on my back. The fellow went with me. He's now in heaven. He had a pup tent on his back. We hiked up to 11,000 feet, camped out on the ridge at 11,000 feet. Had a fire going. We were there, going to spend the night and get up before the deer started moving. We were going to be there. Ha, yeah. And we're sitting there at the campfire, and we were in the saddle at 11,000 feet, and here comes something which we had never seen before. Went right by lights. And this guy that I was hunting with says, "What in the hell was that?" "It was a flying saucer." Well, we found, nobody knew about it at the time. It was a stealth fighter. That was all brand new. Nobody knew about it. But it was a stealth fighter, and they were flying at night. And of course, we used those when we bombed. Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 bomb. And, you know, you saw all of the anti-aircraft fire going up, thousands and thousands of them. They never hit one plane. Didn't hit one. And we bombed the crap out of them. And it was a stealth bomber, stealth fighters. And so we didn't know what they were, but when I came back, and one of my deacons is in the Air Force, Rick Panko, who was a great, great deacon. By the way, all the deacons I've had here have been great deacons. I just can't thank them enough, and I hope all of you respect every single deacon in this church. They are great. They do a fantastic job. They work their asses off. You don't even see what they do. They work every day, day after day after day. You see about 3% of what they do. And they free me so that I can do my job and study and teach your word. But when I got back from that hunting trip, I said, Rick, something really strange. We're at 11,000 feet in the middle of the night, pitch black. And just something came by, not fast, kind of slow coming by, and it looked like a flying saucer. Well, he smiled, got a big smile on his face. He said, well, I can tell you, but if I tell you, I have to kill you. So, but he says, it wasn't a flying saucer. But he said, yeah, I'm not surprised you saw them there, because that's kind of where they're doing all their practicing. So, so with occupation with Christ, the experience of dying is the greatest experience of life. And dying isolates you from normal living. But with occupation with Christ, dying is profit. Philippians 1:21. That brings us to the last point, occupation with Christ as a foundation or basis for several principles. The first one, it is the basis by which the spiritually mature believer contributes to national blessing. It is the basis by which the spiritually mature believer contributes to national blessing. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to start at verse 15. Verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity. There's the winner, believer. And death and destruction. There's the loser believer. You have a choice. God gave us a free will. You can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, or bad decisions to live in the cosmic system. You want, if you want death, the sin unto death and destruction, then just keep living in the cosmic system. You will have it. God doesn't lie. I set before you today life and prosperity. There's the winner believer. Death and destruction. There's the loser believer. For I command you today to love the Lord your God. Occupation with Christ. That's the objective. That's the ultimate objective for every believer in Jesus Christ. To love the Lord your God, occupation with Christ. To walk in His ways and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. And then you will live, have capacity for life, and increase great blessing. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land. The nation you're living in, the United States of America, client nation to God, will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. And then verse 17, but But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, and that doesn't mean we have Christians bowing down to other gods and worshiping them, not idols, but their gods that they are worshiping with the most important thing in their life. You are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them. I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed, sent unto death. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, good decisions, bad decisions, blessing and curses, blessings to the winner believer, curses, divine discipline to the loser believer. Now, choose life. God wants you to choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Occupation with Jesus Christ, fulfill the ultimate objective of why we're here. Listen to His voice, Bible teaching. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the first basis, it's the basis by which the spiritually mature believer contributes to national blessing, Deuteronomy 30:15-20. Secondly, it produces combat courage and victory in battle. It produces combat courage and victory in battle. Turn over to Joshua. Joshua 23. Produces combat courage and victory in battle. Joshua 23. And by the way, in the past, this is why we have had great military victories in this nation, because the military, a major part of the pivot of mature believers, has been in the military for a long, long time. Joshua 23:9. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs a thousand, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as He promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Occupation with Christ. Third, occupation with Christ is the basis for deliverance and preservation in great testing. The basis for deliverance and preservation in great testing. Psalm 31. Turn over to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, we'll start at verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19. And by the way, these Psalm 31, who is the human author? David. Same as Psalm 25. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. Category 2, fear the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues, the conspiracies of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues, sins of the tongue. Verse 21, praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful grace, to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, I'm cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy, grace, and action when I called to you for help. Verse 23, love the Lord, occupation with Christ, all his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. Winner believers, occupy with Christ. But the arrogant, he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who have confidence in the Lord. That's one of the great results of occupation with Christ, confidence in the Lord. Point 4, occupation with Christ is the basis of stability and great happiness. The basis of stability and great happiness. Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. So let's go back to Psalm 16, and you will see again, La David. Well, you don't, unless you have a Hebrew Bible, you don't have La David, but it says, of David. Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. I have set the Lord always before me, occupation with Jesus Christ. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. No matter what kind of adversity, disaster, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And therefore, my heart is glad. Plus H. The other side of the coin of occupation with Christ, self-contained happiness. And my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest in safety, secure, safe. So it's the basis of stability and great happiness. 5. Occupation with Christ results in greater grace blessings. Occupation with Christ results in greater grace blessings. Psalm 37. Again, Le David, a psalm of David. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Occupation with Christ. This is why we're here. This is the ultimate objective for every believer, whether it was in the Old Testament believer or the New Testament, church age. Delight yourself in the Lord, occupation with Christ, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, when you're occupied with Christ, the desires of your heart are different than when you're living in the cosmic system and the desires of your heart. If you're living in the cosmic system, yeah, you got a lot of desires in your heart, but they're all crap. And you're not going to get those. You will get the discipline from God. But for the winner believer who's occupied with Christ, then God will give him the desires of his heart. And what are those kind of desires that the winner believer occupied with Christ has? Well, he goes to prayer and he has powerful and effective prayer. He loves to pray, and his prayers accomplish much. They're powerful, they're effective. And he, well, every day He orients to God's grace. All that he has and all that he is because of who and what God is. And he just prays every day that he glorifies God to the maximum. Each day he graciously provides. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And he will do this. Sixth, occupation with Christ is the basis for strength in the midst of great pressure. Basis of strength in the midst of great pressure. Turn over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the great heroes of the Old Testament. Great winner believers in the Old Testament. And in all, every one of these great heroes, it always starts out by faith. And by faith is by maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. This is the body of faith. Pistis sometimes means faithfulness. Sometimes it means the act of faith. Other times it means the body of faith, that which is believed. In Hebrews 11, faith, pistis, is always used for the body of faith. So we start out with these. Each one of these are winner believers. By faith, maximum, the body of faith, maximum metabolized doctrine in Moses' heart. When he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward, greater grace blessings for all eternity. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. This is Pharaoh's anger. He persevered. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Seven, occupation with Christ avoids soul fatigue. Occupation with Christ avoids soul fatigue. Just look over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Occupation with Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the happiness, plus H, the Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity had two phenomenal problem-solving devices he used on the cross. Plus H, self-contained happiness, and personal love for God the Father. His personal love for God the Father motivated him to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father and go to the cross, willingly go to the cross, willingly receive the sins of the whole world, willingly receive the judgment for those sins because of his personal love for God the Father and self-contained happiness. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, occupation with Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, the happiness set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, occupation with Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men, the greatest of suffering for blessing. Every winner believer is qualified for great suffering for blessing, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, soul fatigue. And then eight, occupation with Christ is the basis for support and the motivation to pass suffering for blessing tests. which is exactly what David is doing in Psalm 25, verse 15, the Absalom revolution and civil war. Great suffering for blessing test that David is facing. And his occupation with Christ is the basis for support and the motivation to pass these suffering for blessing tests. So, verse 15, my eyes are continually on the Lord. Occupation with Christ. And then it goes on in verse 15, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. This is the conjunction key plus the personal pronoun who, joined by a makef to the hifil imperfect of the verb yatsah, plus the preposition men prefixed to the noun reshet, plus the dual of the noun regal with the first person singular suffix. We start out with the conjunction key. K-I. Key in this verse is a causal conjunction, correctly translated because. And then we have the personal pronoun who. H-U olive. Who. Now I've given you this little, this is how what I memorized in seminary. Who is he is she, and me is who. And it kind of, well, once I had that down, I had it down. Well, this is who, and who is he, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 215, adds something very important. He tells us that this is the emphatic use of the personal pronoun, and it should be correctly translated only he, or he alone, or he and no one else. And we're going to translate it that way. He and no one else. The personal pronoun who is joined by a makef to the hifil imperfect of the verb yatsah. That's Y-A-T-S-A, Aleph, Yatsah. All right, a couple of things on this verb. First of all, in the hifil stem, and that's what we have in our verse, we have the hifil stem, and also the hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. Yatsah means to cause to go out, to cause to come out, to bring out, to lead out. Two, figuratively, it means to deliver. To deliver from one's enemies. And we will translate it deliver. Deliver from one's enemies. Three, David is a spiritually mature believer. He's occupied with Jesus Christ. My eyes are continually on the Lord, occupation with Christ. Therefore, he knows that Jesus Christ controls history. Yeah, he's in a pickle. He's living out in the high desert south of Jerusalem. All the material blessings have been left behind. Everything's been left in the palace. Absalom has booted him out. Absalom has usurped David's authority as king. Absalom now is sending out a revolutionary forces to destroy his father, King David. And David has with him some establishment forces that have been loyal to David all this time. So David is a spiritually mature believer with occupation with Christ. My eyes are continually on the Lord. He knows that Jesus Christ controls history. Four, David has absolute confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver him from the Absalom revolution and give David victory in the civil war. David has absolute confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver him from the Absalom revolution and give David victory in the civil war. 5. David knows that if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't provide the victory, there will be no victory. David knows that if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't provide the victory, then there will be no victory. Six, without the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ, David knows that he is not going to make it. Without the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ, David knows that he is not going to make it. Seven, David knows that in this time of historical crisis and national disaster, that the Lord Jesus Christ controls history. And David's eyes are continually on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the noun regal. That's R-E-G-E-L. Regal is in the dual. It's in the dual because regal is the word for foot. It's in the dual because most people have 2 feet. And you have 2 feet unless you had an amputation. My youngest brother, Dave, a fantastic believer in Jesus Christ, he is a winner believer. He was on a sailboat with a metal mast and had his foot up against the metal mast and his hand in the water, and it hit a power line and all that power went through his leg, his body, out the arm, and he fell into the lake and went to the bottom. In the perfect plan of God, Jesus Christ controls history. There was a fellow on shore that saw the whole thing, dove in, went out, went to the bottom, grabbed my brother and pulled him up, took him to shore. They called an ambulance. They put him in the ambulance, and they had just happened to have the perfect people in that ambulance to do the right kind of work on my brother while he was on the way to the hospital. When they got to the hospital, the one doctor who was a specialist in these kinds of burns was on duty. Took him in, and there was he only had a 30% chance of living. And he survived one day, and then one more day. And then doctor went in and told him, we're going to have to amputate your left arm and your right leg. My brother said, okay, that's fine. That's God's will for my life. Go ahead. And that doctor went out and he thought, there's something wrong with this guy. I told him we're going to amputate his arm and amputate his leg, and he said, okay, that's God's will. Go ahead and do it. And the doctor he was talking to was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he knew my brother. He said, there's nothing abnormal with him. He's the only normal patient we ever see in here. He is thinking divine viewpoint. If this is God's will for his life, Fine, go ahead. They amputated his left arm. They amputated his right leg. And he has gone on and used to be right after that happened, I would go up and take my golf clubs and go golfing with him. But he beat me every time we went golfing. With one arm and one leg, he'd beat me. So I said, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. Then we went bowling, and then he beat me in bowling. So he doesn't view himself as handicapped. And he never, ever complains to God over the fact he had an arm amputated and a leg amputated. He's always had that mentality, that's God's will for my life. Great. Let's go ahead and do it, and we'll move on from here. And that is how a winner believer thinks. Well, regal here is the word for foot. Dual is feet. First person singular suffix, my feet. And then the preposition men, which is the preposition of separation. You translate it out from, and then reshet. Reshet. That's R-E-S-H-E-T, reshet, and that's the Hebrew word for net. The corrected translation, my eyes are continually on the Lord, occupation with Christ, because He and no one else will deliver my feet out from the net. The net is the historical crisis and national disaster of the Absalom Revolution and the Civil War. My eyes are continually on the Lord, occupation with Christ, because He and no one else will deliver my feet out from the net. And by the way, this church is full of great prayer warriors. My youngest brother, Dave, is on the prayer list. He has one leg left. And that one leg that was left, they had to do a lot of skin grafts. And they told him when they did these skin grafts, they'll only work for about 10 years, and then we're probably going to have to amputate your other leg after 10 years. Well, it's been over 20 years, so he feels like he has got double from what the doctor says, been over 20 years, but he's got a sore on his foot that hasn't healed, and unless the Lord Jesus Christ intervenes and puts his hand to healing on it, he will have his other leg amputated. And he's planning for that, if that's what it is, but I told him that he is on the prayer list when you're praying for him. He tried everything that the doctors know to do, and none of their ideas have worked. And so I said, well, you get to run hurdles. You get to run the amputation hurdle here. So glorify God. I know you will. You'll glorify God. And but anyway, when you pray, that's what you'd be praying for with him on that. My eyes are continually on the Lord, occupation with Christ, because He and no one else will deliver my feet out from the net. One, the net is the historical crisis and national disaster of the Absalom Revolution and the Civil War. The net is the historical crisis and national disaster of the Absalom Revolution and the Civil War. Two, this historical crisis and national disaster is the fourth installment of divine discipline that was originally caused by David's cosmic system function, Operation Bathsheba, and the murder of her husband Uriah the Hittite. This historical crisis and national disaster is the fourth installment of divine discipline that was originally caused by David's cosmic system function, sinfulness, Operation Bathsheba, and the murder of Uriah the Hittite. Three, David has rebounded. He is back in fellowship with God, and he has advanced to spiritual maturity and occupation with Jesus Christ. He said it beautifully here in these last two verses. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear him. Occupation with Christ. That's David. He fears the Lord. Therefore, he will cause them to know his covenant. The alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord. Occupation with Christ. My eyes are continually on the Lord. Occupation with Christ. Because he and no one else will deliver my feet out from the net. So David has rebounded. He's back in fellowship with God. He's advanced to spiritual maturity and occupation with Christ. Four, therefore the cursing has been turned to blessing. For David, the cursing has been turned to blessing. Wahoo! I'm sure David had a lot of wahoos. Cursing turned to blessing. Five, suffering for punishment is converted into suffering for blessing through rebound and God's problem-solving devices, especially occupation with Jesus Christ. Suffering for punishment is converted into suffering for blessing through rebound and God's problem-solving devices, especially occupation with Jesus Christ. Sixth, there is no historical disaster and no personal catastrophe too great for the grace and power of God. There is no historical disaster and no personal catastrophe too great for the grace and power of God. Seven, God is greater than any adversity or disaster. God is greater than any adversity or disaster. Eight. Sometimes, and this is all in God's perfect plan, he's infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair. Sometimes God will remove the adversity. Nine. However, other times he perpetuates the adversity so that we will have the opportunity of clearing the hurdle of disaster testing. However, other times he perpetuates the adversity so that we will have the opportunity of clearing the hurdle of disaster testing. Ten. When we clear the hurdle with precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, then our personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ become even greater. When we clear the hurdle with precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, then our personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ become even greater. 11. God promises the believer in fellowship that no testing will be unbearable. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God promises the believer in fellowship that no testing will be unbearable. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And turn over there and we'll close with this evening. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No testing has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you can bear. But with the testing, He will provide the way of escape also. What is the way of escape? His problem-solving devices, that you may be able to endure it. All right. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.